Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Or online at WNYC.org. Thanks a lot, everybody. So did you see the front page article in the New York Times yesterday about Similac organic infant formula? It's organic and 30% more expensive than their non-organic line. But the article raises questions about whether it's actually worse for babies than most non-organic formula for its sweetness, particularly its sucrose content. Now, for me, that also raises a larger issue of whether the label organic is used commonly as kind of a smokescreen for otherwise unhealthy products that fit the legal criteria for the organic label. With me now to talk about this are Nina Plank, author of the book Real Food for Mother and Baby. She is a formula skeptic in general, but says there are options for women who can't breastfeed. And Marion Nessel, who teaches nutrition and public health at NYU and is the author of books including What to Eat. Hi, Nina. Hi, Marion.
Hi.
So, Marion, what did you make of the Times article?
Well, I was just shocked by it. I don't have small children anymore, and so I haven't been following it that closely. But the organic infant formulas came out after I wrote What to Eat, and I had never looked at the label. I ran right to the store to do a little price comparison and to look at what's on the label. And sure enough, there's Similac with organic cane juice. And then the Earth's Best competitor, which has organic lactose. So organic lactose is available. The other absolutely astounding thing about it was that the Similac product cost $5 more. For the can, it was $31 as compared to $26. Mm. So mothers who are using this formula are buying sucrose at a much more expensive pay,
so what's,
expensive price than the competitor.
What's the sucrose issue? Why is that different from other sugars?
Well, it's sweeter, for one thing, and babies are perfectly able to digest it. But it's sweeter, and it's much sweeter, so that it establishes a taste for sweet in babies. There's lots of experiments that show that babies will prefer sucrose to lactose, and it sort of sets up this whole thing about thinking that all foods have to be sweet. I think this is the best evidence for breastfeeding that I've seen in quite a while.
We can take a few phone calls on this. We have about 10 minutes with Nina Plank and Marion Nessel. If any moms, stay-at-home dads like George Packer with their babies or anyone else want to call up at 212-433-WNYC. That's our on-air number, not our pledge line. We'll never ask you for money on the air. 212-433-9692 to talk about this organic and sucrose and all of that. Nina, the article said no health problems have been identified as being linked to this formula. Is there some alarmism in putting this on the front page with no known ill effects in any particular human babies?
It's interesting. Really what we're talking about is whether we can distinguish harmful health effects between different types of refined sugars. And as Marion knows and has explained patiently to everyone, pretty nearly all refined sugars lead us to a trio of health catastrophes, namely obesity, diabetes, and heart disease. So we're treating all of them. I think the main problem at the moment is not the possible rare metabolic problems that cane syrup might be causing in babies, which the EU is apparently concerned about, mm-hmm. but really just the outright sweetness. And oddly enough, I in the last couple of weeks, I've been polishing off the pieces on infant formula and breastfeeding, and I looked into organic formulas too. And the main difference with organic formulas is that simply that. They're organic, and that may be better for the environment, but it's not at all clear that they're better for babies. The first ingredient in two organic formulas I looked at was organic brown rice syrup. And if you just imagine, suppose you were a mother or father at home making baby food, you would never keep brown rice syrup in your pantry and make that the major ingredient in a dish you're serving. And breast milk is rather sweet, actually. It's sweeter than cow milk. And if you taste it, which I have, it's surprisingly sweet. But these sugars come in a special form that break down into two little sub-sugars, and those are specifically related to human infant brain development. They're not present in the same way in the milk of other mammals. So we can be sure that whatever natural sweetness nature has provided has a really specific function, and it will not be to disrupt the hormones and the metabolism of children later. We have
and
problems.
You don't think the sweetness of breast milk also develops a sweet tooth? Because I know that the EU ban, from what I've read, they're not just worried about rare cancers. They're worried about a growing problem of childhood obesity there.
But
and so they're going to ban the sucrose sweetened form because of the sweetness.
Yes, here we're talking about overeating. If I'm not mistaken, we're speaking of the baby's overeating formula. A breastfed baby will never overeat.
Yes, and Marion, developing a sweet tooth so that they may reject other foods and just have a tendency toward high-sugar foods. That's the other concern.
Well, we already
right?
have
right.
a
it's
sweet
a question
tooth. Of quantity and also of what effects refined sugar have on an immature hormonal.
Yeah.
And
yeah, I mean, everybody has a sweet tooth. I mean, I look at this as a marketing issue. It's so interesting because baby foods are one of those foods that are so tightly regulated by the FDA that they're basically identical. You really can't tell the difference between one baby food and another. So organic, in a sense, is establishing a niche for mothers who want to feed their kids organic foods, and I'm in favor of that for largely environmental reasons, and also they'll be lower in pesticides, but the ingredients have to be the same. And I'm just completely baffled why a company would use sucrose in an organic formula rather than lactose.
Now, here is a dad
and
who's been...
It surprises me.
It's sweeter and it's cheaper, and that this is an advantage.
But they're already charging $5 more than Earth's Best for the same size
It's
can.
Because it says organic, and people will pay more for that,
they're
correct?
They're both organic. They're both organic. This is the two organic brands. The Similac is $5 more.
All right. Peter in Brooklyn uses this product. Peter, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good. So?
I do use this product, and I have a couple comments. First of all, I read Michael Pollan's book, In Defense of Food. I also read Omnivores a little bit. In Defense of Food talks very much about the corn surplus in this country and how they put corn in pretty much everything, including many of the baby formulas, and how, in general, baby formula is just a big sort of nutrition science experiment, and they really don't know for sure if they think they're giving them the right things, but whatever. I feed my baby Similac Organic only because she's a girl. I don't want her having the sexual hormones that they put in the cows. And I feel that, you know, a little bit of sucrose, I make up for it by making all of her other food fresh. I know what I'm putting. I'm a chef, so I can.
Yeah, so you're choosing sucrose over corn syrup, really.
I'm choosing sucrose over corn syrup and maltodextrin and all the other weird things they synthesize out of corn. And I'm choosing it over the evil of hormones. I mean, I just think, you know, to me that maybe I have bought into the green label that says organic in giant letters, and I'm willing to pay a few dollars more. But the hormones, real. I don't want my baby having her period when she's 7.
I'm glad the father has mentioned hormones because this is critically important. You asked whether it was alarmism to put formula ingredients on the front page of a major national newspaper. I would say that formula ingredients get scant attention in this country, despite the good efforts of people like Marion who decode labels for us. And a very, very important problem at the moment is the use of isolated soy protein in many formulas, including organic formulas. And these are known to be estrogen hormone disruptors. They too much soy in all mammals, including women, causes major disruptions in the fertility cycle, including stopping ovulation. It's known by researchers that soy and other legumes, they call it birth control for predators. This is how they keep sheep, you know, mammals like sheep from eating them. And I think the really untold scandal, which will emerge as we see more and more young girls in puberty way before their time,
Ruth
will be the excess consumption of soy.
Ruth in Huntington, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ruth.
Hi. Hi, this is shocking to me. I pay double for the Similac organic for my 11-month-old. I purchased the organic because I, too, was concerned about hormones, antibiotics. In fact, my 8-year-old only drinks water, and here I am. I had no idea how much sugar. I feel very foolish. I didn't even, you know, I just assumed here I am spending this $30 for this can of organic Similac, and that I wasn't, I never thought that it was loaded with sugar. I feel really foolish and really betrayed. I mean, this is a baby.
It's not your fault because the regulations are tight, but the labeling is very poor.
Well, babies have to have sugar. The question is which kind.
They do.
And the other organic brand has lactose in it. It still has sugar, but it's lactose.
You can mention that brand. What is it?
It's Earth's Best. So, at least it's the one that was at my local store when I went to do a little brand comparison.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if we cleared up quite the hormone question from the first caller, which I think is really important. Are there certain kinds of infant formula that have it and certain kinds that don't?
This comes down to what the organic standards say about the production of cow milk.
Uh-huh.
And growth-promoting hormones are not permitted in organic dairy production. So that would mean an organic milk-based formula wouldn't contain them. And the good news, though, is that labeling and articles like this and awareness have really led to a pretty sharp reduction now in hormone use and even in industrial milk. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably on its way out.
So we've just got a minute left. But, Marion, this goes to the larger issue I raised in the intro, and the article in the Times yesterday wasn't about this, but the idea that the official standards for the organic label offer, you know,
many loopholes, many myriad possibilities
for health, like with the hormones we were just talking about, but also possibilities for abuse for marketing unhealthy foods as healthy because they are strictly speaking organic.
Yeah, and organic junk food is still a junk food. But I think the organic standards require the foods to be produced under conditions that I think are much better.
What's an example of an organic junk food?
Organic potato chips.
They're out there?
Oh, absolutely.
Actually, I don't mind organic potato chips so much. At least it's a whole potato with possibly an unrefined vegetable oil and natural sea salt. But I would vote for organic corn syrup and sodas as being garbage.
And that's going to be the last word from Marion Nessel and Nina Plank. Marion Nessel from NYU, her latest book in paperback, What to Eat. And Nina, you have that book on formula coming out?
Yes, that's coming next, and what's out now is Real Food, What to Eat and Why.
Thanks so much to both of you. Important discussion. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with us.